Hey people, what's up? So I've been answering some questions, and today's question was by someone who is worried that if they ask for a certain amount of money from somebody for work, from a prospective client, what if that client says no? Now this is not a unique problem. This is so common, especially when you're starting out, and it's a little intimidating, and you want the job so bad, but you don't want to underprice yourself. So the question was, what if they say no? And what if they say no? That's it. Cool, move on, next. That's what you do. I mean, you are valuing your services at a certain amount of money, and that's what you need to break even, pay your expenses, etc. So if they say that this is not in our budget, then you move on. You can't force them to pay you, and the worst thing you could do is that then you slash your rates and say, oh, 50% discount. On the basis of what? If you're reducing your deliverables equally, like if you say that, I'll give you 100 photographs and it's going to cost you 1 lakh, but the client comes back and says, hey, you know what, my budget is only 50,000, what can you do in that? So then you say, okay, I'll give you 50 photos. That you can do. I know it's not as simple as just the number of photos. There are a lot of other things involved, like the time you will spend. But if you negotiate based on the money and the deliverables, then that's cool. But sometimes, especially in this whole blogging area, I think a lot of clients, because it's a new thing, nobody has any benchmarks or standards. So the best tool most people have found to price blogging is to go back to traditional journalists and traditional media and see how that was priced. A lot of brands are used to paying newspapers and magazines advertising money, or they take journalists on fam trips, the FAM fam trips. Those are familiarization trips where they take you. It's like a travel thing, and they take care of all your expenses. And it's not really clearly written in a contract that they expect you to write something or do something, but it is. It's kind of understood. Now, this was okay for. For someone who's salaried, someone who has a job and is getting a salary, you get like a nice 3-4 day vacation. But for an independent blogger, you're taking away 3-4 days of your time, and you're spending it there specifically for that client. You're not getting a salary from anybody. You are responsible for making your own money. So that kind of a thing doesn't apply. So a lot of prospective clients who apply the same rules that they used to do with traditional media, and they say, oh, bloggers also should be paid like this. It doesn't work like that because these are two very different arenas. So you can have a conversation with a prospective client, and you can tell them that, look, this is not how I work, this is how I work. But if someone is coming from that point of view of where, they would pay a traditional media newspaper, for example, to cover their party for 30,000 bucks, they're going to probably come to you and say, "Arey, the newspaper has a claimed circulation of 1 million papers monthly." So I will ask this blogger, what is their circulation or how many page views do they get? And for example, I get like 60,000 page views. So that's nowhere close to what the newspaper claims. The only difference is that my page views can, to a large extent, be verified. Well, so you can't really say, "Arey, I get like 10 million people on my blog," and there are ways of checking that and making sure that that's actually true. But in the case of newspapers, I don't think that's really possible to measure, each and every paper being and delivered, and what are people actually doing with it. With blogs, you can at least find out what are the page views, how many people are actually coming, and how many pages on average is one person looking at. You can get as specific as that. So you can't match that either. So it's hard, if a client is coming from that mindset and they say that, "Arey, I will only give 5,000 bucks to a blogger, and your rate is 1,50,000," then there is a huge mismatch there. So the chances of the prospective client moving along is a lot higher. And that's okay. I mean, this is still a new area. You move on and you figure out someone else. And instead of sitting and waiting for brands and people to get in touch with you, you pitch. You say that, hey, you know, this is a blog I have. These are the page views I have. And this is what I think I would love to do for your brand because I think it fits with my audience. My audience likes to see these kind of stories. I make great images. It'll make your brand look better than it actually is. And this is what I charge for it. Now, again, pitching is not that you go to someone and they'll be like, oh, yes, let's do this. It's going to take some time to find a good fit. There are some times that you'll be like, heck, I don't care. I really want to do this. So you'll be like, okay, let me do it as a trial basis. And let's see how this goes. And, you know, maybe the brand sees value in that. And they're, you know, the person who hires you actually gets a promotion because of the stuff that they got done with you. Yeah, these things have been known to happen. I mean, people say that, hey, you know, I got that story done, so that should go in my resume. So you should don't take it personally. This is still a very, very new arena where even bloggers are still figuring out what's the best way to make money or do this as a sustainable long-term business or continue to do this without making it a boring job. Or for some people, it's just a cash cow where, you know, they've gotten a certain number of, you know, followers or page views or visitors. And now they just want to get like whatever monthly money that they make. So they just keep pushing out stories or, you know, they're aggregators. So there are lots of models. Some prospective clients will say, fine, let's do this. Some will say, no, let's not do this. And this is the whole negotiation thing that you kind of get an idea of once you start, you know, doing or working in this area or any other area as an independent contractor. These are skills you need to learn. It's just like when you were in college and you went asked a guy out for a date. I mean, I don't know if you did that. I did that for lots of guys. And, you know, they turned around and said, hey, you know, thanks, but no, I'm not in that place right now. So yeah, I mean, you get used to rejection, I guess. It doesn't matter. There's so many clients in the market. There's so many people you can date. I mean, it's the same analogy. You move on. I mean, and the thing is, the more you get rejected, the more practice you have and the less it feels bad. Because you have to understand, it's not a personal rejection. A lot of people that you interact with who might help you, you know, who's hiring you for the, you know, the job or the blogging assignment, they might not be the final decision makers. There might be 20 other people on a team who are helping them decide that this works for the brand or doesn't. So the decision is not theirs. They are not an independent contractor. You are. So you have the flexibility to say yes, no, yes, no. For them, it's more about, are a brand, what did the CEO want? What are the brand goals this year? So for them, it's a different business decision. Don't take it personally that, oh, that brand didn't want to work with me and they said no. And then they went and worked with that blogger who basically did it for them for free. Well, I've said this earlier. Yeah, there'll always be people who will do stuff for free. I've been there when I just started out. You know, you're desperate and you want to do stuff and there's a brand that you really want to work with. And you know, you also come to a point, like I'm at a point right now where I can actually afford to work for free. But now I have the choice of saying no. And it takes time. I mean, even 2-3 years ago, and I don't spend too much time thinking about it. If it doesn't feel right to me, I'm like, look, let's go get a beer, but I don't think this is working out. So that's fine. I mean, it's you don't suddenly develop a new enemy. That's not what it is. It's a business decision, and you will be better off you know, getting used to that right away. So fine, if someone says no, be like, okay, hey, great, you know, it was nice talking to you and it was fun discussing, and you know, maybe there's something will come up in the future, and hey, if you're around, let's grab a beer or a coffee if you don't drink alcohol. I think that's what it is, isn't it? That at the end of the day, we're all here to make friends. So, and you know, if you develop a nice rapport with somebody and then you actually end up working with them professionally, and you know, they're super professional, you super professional, and you produce something great for the brand, I mean, that's a case study that you can use, they can use, the brand's happy about it. And you never know, I mean, how it goes on. It's quite possible that the same person who said no to you right now might move to a different brand, change their job. And there the brand team or the company might be more open to working with bloggers, and they might have different budgets because they worked with bloggers earlier. So then this person might get back to you. So this is a long-term thing. It takes time. People move from one job to the other. The idea is to just, we're all in it together. Just so if it's a no, don't take it personally. It's a business decision. Look at it like that and move on and, take your business elsewhere. So I hope that answers your question. And again, if you have any other questions related to blogging or, and I'm not saying that these are definitive answers. This is just what I think and kind of what works for me sometimes. So you figure it out, like lots of trial and error. Please, you have to experiment a lot. You can't just sit on your ass and be like, "Arey, I got this assignment with this international luxury brand and I've got it made." That's not how it works. You have to keep doing it again and again with different brands and different people, and that's the fun of the game. That you meet more people, you have new experiences, you learn new things about yourself. That's what it is. I mean, otherwise it's just a very fatalistic view of life where you know you're going to die and you're like, "Oh, let me just give up." So it's the same, like you do this amazing assignment and you're like, "Oh, that's it, I've got it made." It doesn't work like that. Okay, so if you have any other questions, then please, you know my email. Write to me or leave comments on the video on YouTube, or I blog these as well. And now I'm calling it the Naina Redu experience, and let's see where it goes. So far, it's been quite nice. Thanks a lot for looking at all the videos, and I still find it really crazy when there's one more person who views the video more than me. And I've been getting like, 100, 200 views on some of my regular videos. Of course, the main one initially almost has 2,000 views, so that's still like, whoa. Yeah. Okay, see you. Have fun.